Show.
All right, everyone, welcome back to episode 160 of the 580 Show. Got a special guest this week. We have Amelia Plummer from Cerebral Wellbeing. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. So we were just talking right before we started, but it's crazy because how everything comes full circle. But how I found out about you and your service, and we'll talk all about that, but it was actually from listening to a podcast. So
yeah,
it's
it
like,
seems like so long ago.
Like 2 years ago or something like that. So I just remember listening and I thought it was really cool, and we'll kind of talk about all that stuff. But yeah, it was like 2 years ago now. So my hopes is that someone else hears this now and it's just like a chain reaction and someone finds out about you through this podcast, and because it's awesome what you do. So
thank you.
So let's talk about that. What you kind of offer and how you help strong men and women specifically. So I remember the first time we ever met, you told me about it, but you're from the UK. So
I am, yeah.
Most of our listeners are from the USA. But your education is kind of like the Ivy League equivalent of over here, right?
Yes. We call it in the UK, we call it Russell Groups. It's the same as the Ivy League. The Russell Groups have got like the Cambridge, Oxford, Newcastle, Durham, like a small collection. It's the same as the Ivy League. And because, say, 60% of the people I work with are American, I've got to be able to convert it. So that's the best way I can. Yeah.
Well, that's an impressive way to convert it, you know, like is thought, say, Ivy League. And so when you went to school for, I guess, what's your official like psychology and then like mental health, or how is it?
Yeah,
I
went and got my degree in psychology, and that's a 3-year degree. Then I went on and did my master's in clinical psychology, and that's when I did my dissertation in strongman and mental health.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was leading to, is that the thing I think that is coolest about like your specialty is literally strongman. And it's such a niche thing, but there's so much value in it and stuff I want to talk about. But like, so you actually did your dissertation in strongman.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
It was really good. I was in the UK. It's not really big. It's more just in, we watch it on TV at Christmas. That's the best way to describe
that's
it.
How
UK
it is
is
over here
strongest.
Too.
It's on TV at Christmas and everyone watches it over Christmas, and it's nice. I've always enjoyed it. It's good. It's like a family tradition type thing. But I did my master's, like, what do I want to do it on? I wanted something different that people haven't done before. So I thought mental health and strongman. I went to have a look to see if anybody had done any papers on it. No one. Which made that introduction a very hard thing to write.
Yeah,
Like,
right.
I had nothing to go off. It was difficult. So I thought, doesn't matter, I'm going to go for it. So I worked with 10 strongmen from across the world. I asked them about their mental health, and everyone was great at answering back my messages. It was really good to see so many people opening up. So I had to pick 10 because I had like 30 responses. So I had to just randomly pick 10 people. We talked about their mental health and things like that. What were the themes that came up a lot in Strongman with the sport? And from there, I created my dissertation. And after that, I realized that there was no other clinical psychologist specifically for mental health. There is for sports. There are sports psychologists in the field,
right?
but no mental health specific ones. So I thought I wanted to start up. And since then, I've worked with people from around the world and I've loved it. Worked
Yeah.
with so many different mental health issues. I've worked with loads of competition plans, and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's so cool. So did you literally just see strong, like you saw Strongman on TV, and that was like kind of just like your intro to it, and like kind of how you just were like, hey, I'm gonna like look at this, and then you saw that there was none, and you're just like kind of
basically.
That's awesome.
And strengths always, my dad's a builder. So from a kid, I was carrying like big bags of concrete and like huge posts around at 8 years old. I was like walking around with a 40 kilogram post on my shoulder. So it was just something that naturally drew my attention and it just sparked an interest.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you're starting to train for strongman now,
I
right?
am
With Nick Hine.
with Nick Hine. I'm loving it. with Nick in 3 months, I've took my shaky one rep max at 100 to I did 100 for five
Oh, wow.
in 3 months. So I
That
was happy
is
with that.
impressive. That's impressive. Yeah, that I think it's so cool. And okay, so the main thing I wanted to kind of emphasize that I think is so cool and beneficial, and I'll be curious, what you say about it, but is like I think therapy is awesome. I think having someone to talk to, no matter what the outlet is, but I think with you focusing on strongman, I think it's such a asset to people is because you have these different plans, and I'm going to break down the plans, but just from a basic standpoint, okay, you can relate. And I think like if I was going to go to a therapist, just a normal therapist, strongman is such a big part of my life. But if I would go to therapy, and I might be wrong about this, but it would get probably pretty skimmed over,
Yes.
or kind of like it wouldn't be the main emphasis. And
Exactly.
to me, like, yeah, it sounds silly to make strongman the main emphasis, but for so many people, it's their number one hobby. It
It is.
consumes so much of their life. I own a strongman gym. I just think that is the main benefit of the service you offer is because it's talking about your main issues and your main concerns and your main just everything that you focus on. So
And that's the biggest feedback I've had with people. They've worked with therapists and they've done strongman, and therapists being like, okay, but that's a hobby. Like, yes and no. It is a hobby for some people. It is a gym, but it's not. It's a lifestyle as well. For a lot of people, it is a lifestyle. You can go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week and be training there for 3 hours. That's not just something. That is a small part of your life. That is a really big proportion, and it needs to be taken into account. If you're feeling a deadlift, that can make you feel very down, and that needs to be addressed. It's not like, oh, well, if you just didn't do well in the gym, it's not as simple as that.
Right. Yeah, no, it's crazy. Like you said, like 4 or 5 days a week, 2 to 3 hours. I mean, you're looking at 12 plus hours a week in the gym. That's where I've made some of my best friends. I've
Exactly.
had some of the best times of my life. And so like when something does go wrong or you're having a bad day, like it's obviously going to affect you severely. And you think about the money and time that a lot of us
Yes.
put into it. I mean, think about some of the athletes that you coach that even if they're in the States or if they're not in the States, going to like say OSG, because that just happened. You're going to West Virginia, may potentially in a different country, staying 4 or 5 nights. Flying a full day home. I mean, it's a lot of people's life. So I
Yes.
think that's awesome. And so the coolest thing that I think you offer, and I think it's all awesome, but like my favorite thing is you offer basically like a meet prep, like a competition prep.
Yes.
As like, and if you're listening, like how coaches, like online coaches, like a meet prep. But it's for the mental side of things. And I have done it now, I believe maybe 3 times
Three,
with
yes.
you. And it is awesome. Like it's can be at calls from anywhere from 20 minutes a week to an hour a week. If you need extra stuff, that you have the outlets to be able to contact you. Like if something is going wrong during the week, you have signals where I could contact you after hours or things like that, which I think is a huge thing, but it's basically like a meat prep before your mind, where it's like, hey, we're gonna start this 8 weeks out from this competition, and we're gonna talk every week. We're gonna go through. I don't want to steal all your explanations because you're way better explaining it than me. But like, I just love telling people about it because I think it's helped me so much. Is like we're like how you would normally like, hey, this week we're gonna do a max deadlift. This week we're gonna talk about the max deadlift. We're gonna use strategies on how to approach the deadlift, how to approach these issues, this event, and you just really break it down and like some of the mental cues are huge, so it's literally like the gym prep, but for your brain. And like
It's nice.
I just think it's amazing, like.
It's nice to see somebody that's as passionate about it as me. It's
Yeah.
normally just me rant and be like, I think I'm really happy about the way this is going. It's normally just me. It's the same as the physical, and people go and have like your coaches who tell you your deadlift and things like that. They'll go to a physiotherapist. They might go and get IV drips, loads of different things, but it should be the same for the mind. And that's what I try and do with the competition plans. So if you're, like you said, say 8 weeks out and you're training specific things, let's break them down. Pick which ones that you need more mental cues on, which ones you feel are your weakest, which ones you feel that your form needs to improve on. And it's not just them, because I've got a range of techniques for a range of different events now, and I've just seemed to add them up. I like collect like medals, like each time, like, oh, right, so what can we use for sandbags? But I get there. And it's things like letting the competition overtake you, because it can be a very overwhelming thing having a competition. If you're in OSG, you've got the lights, you've got the sound, everything going on around you, it is a bit chaotic, and people don't really plan for that. And that's something I always try and plan for, because it is a lot, and it's like getting pushed into the deep end and be like, right, perform at your best. You need a bit of preparation for that deep end, and that's mental.
And the other thing too is putting things into perspective, and one of probably my, and I don't want to give away all your secrets, but setting goals and tiered goals, I think, is such an awesome thing. Like, we'll talk, like, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 weeks out from our comp, and say, like, okay, what's the bare minimum you think you can do on this event? Like, what would be like a like worst day, you have the flu, what can you do? And then like a middle goal where it's like, okay, this would be a great thing and you'd be happy with it, or what is the best case scenario? And we'll set these goals, and I think it helps you as an athlete prepare, because you're spending that extra time talking about it, you're thinking about it, you're analyzing it. And I think that is like even it's more than mental. Like it's genuinely helping you as an athlete prepare. So it's almost, you're helping like as a strongman coach as well. So
Because
I think it's great.
people focus on one goal, the competition. It's always one goal. It's let's hit this PB, let's podium, let's get this place. But as soon as you do that, you're forgetting all of the other little goals that you're sweeping over. And they're all chances to actually say, I did that. I'm very proud of that. Say you're going for a 300 kilogram deadlift. There was a point where 200 was your PB. Let's just recognize how far you've came. And that 300 is amazing, but even doing before that is good. And I know a lot of people worry that if they're happy with what they would say is the bare minimum, then it's going to make them not want to perform. But I've never had that problem with anybody I've worked with. If anything, it's just gave them more motivation, because like, right, I've got that in the bank. Let's go on. What's the next thing?
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I'll use myself as an example, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but
Don't go for it.
is like when I qualified for OSG for the first time this year, which was a big goal for me, and I was nervous about it, and you had put in a perspective of like, hey, only so many people qualify for this competition. Like, no matter how you do, obviously you want to do your best, but like you are in that portion that is qual, and that just made me feel better. Like, just little stuff like that, putting it in perspective. Like, even for someone, and I don't mean to sound like an elitist, that's far from what I want to sound like, but like even someone like is doing their first novice comp or their second comp as a novice or whatever, it's like, okay, before you did this first comp, your best ever deadlift was 100 kilos, and now in the comp maybe you got seventh place in this comp, but you did 120 kilos for 10 reps. Like,
Exactly.
it's all those wins no matter where you're at in the journey, so like that perspective, I think, is super, super helpful.
Yeah, it's a hard sport, and it's like pushing your body to the ultimate limits. So let's celebrate it instead of all just the massive things. Everything's difficult, so let's celebrate it all.
I mean, okay, so do you think that social media kind of like in Strongman kind of like puts extra pressure on people? And I mean that in like the sense, I may look at a guy in my class, and see him doing my one rep max for 10. People see that and they forget that Instagram is a highlight reel for most people. But do you see like social media in that aspect like negatively affecting people?
I do. And it's the first thing, one of the first things I recommend, stay off it. Soon as you have a problem where you're looking at somebody's, you're going over perhaps somebody who you think is your biggest competition. If you're on their page, come off social media or snooze them for 30 days.
Yeah.
You don't need that because you're already in your head even before you've stepped up. So you're already setting yourself up for not doing your ultimate. And like you said, it's a highlight reel. Nobody, not many people are putting on the ones at the field. You
Yeah, I
only
don't put
see
on, yeah, I don't put on my missed lifts and stuff. You know what I mean? Nobody does.
No,
You know.
and that's how people get in their head because we're seeing our own best of the best. When in reality, lots of things come into play into competitions that don't when you're in the gym. So many things. And comparison is, I love the saying, but comparison is the thief of joy. And it really is because you can celebrate somebody else without having to pull yourself down against them. And that's the biggest thing I try and push. Be happy for other people's successes. But it doesn't discount from your own because they're two separate things.
Yeah, no, I love that quote. That's good. One phrase that I heard from you, and it was the first time I heard it, and now I hear it a lot, but is the post-comp blues.
Yes.
Can you explain that a little bit? I think you have a better, you can explain it better than I can, so.
So I think so many people have felt post-comp blues, but they don't know how to put a name to it, and that's what post-comp blues is. So when you've had a competition, there's always like you can be training for sometimes 12 weeks. Everything can be leading up 12 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever. And it's everything in your life is preparing for that. You're making sure your nutrition is good, your sleep's good, your training's good, your physiotherapy, and maybe your mind. So you're building up all of these things up for a very long period of time. And when you go to the competition, all of the energy's there. There's the excitement. There's everybody screaming your name. There's doing all of these amazing things. And say you do win a title like OSG, everybody in the field knows that you've won it. You then go back to work. Not many people know Strongman. You're not going to get as much celebration at work as you do when you're doing the competition when you're in that sort of scene. And that can be very stark difference for a lot of people because they've gone to being on top of the world and everybody being like, you're amazing, to being like, well, it's Greg from finance. Like
Yeah.
it can be a very big come down.
Yeah.
And that is like the post-comp blues. Like I had all of this and now it's not. So it's like the emotional, like an inverted U, like you're peaking and then it's down.
Yeah.
And it can also happen if you failed. Well, if you think you failed,
Yeah, that was gonna be my next question. Yeah, go
if
on.
you didn't place where you thought you did, and you'd put months worth of works into this, and you don't place where you thought you did, you can go into a quick depression. And it's very easy to do because the questions of what did I do wrong? Why didn't I do it? Should I have done better? It spirals very quickly. And we've all heard the phrase of spiraling, but it really does happen. And I've seen it happen with a lot of people. And that's why I always encourage to prepare so those post-comp blues don't happen.
Yeah. And you know, the cool thing I get, the cool thing that you offer is like, okay, if say you and I, we prep for OSG for 10 weeks, which we did. And then we not only do we meet the day before the comp, which I think is cool, like, hey, last minute, how you feeling? Did wait, but also the week after.
Yes.
We go through from like, it's kind of fun because it's almost like a time capsule where you can go back, hey, remember when we set these tiered goals that I mentioned earlier on the pod. Hey, look, you crushed that one. You crushed that one.
Exactly.
You did this one. Like, and it gives like, so that is kind of, I mean, hope I'm saying this correctly, but that is kind of one of your ways to help with the post-comp blues, right? Is
Exactly.
that post meeting after the competition. And
Yeah,
I think,
exactly. It's
yeah.
a reminder of you did this, what you thought in the beginning, you may not have thought you were able to do. And we put in place things like focusing on yourself, focusing on your own achievements compared to other people's achievements. That helps reduce the post-comp blues because you're going in with a mindset of I'm competing against myself. Whatever I do is for me. Doesn't really matter what other people do. That helps the post-comp blues because you're not comparing yourself to, oh, I didn't get first. You did what you could on the day.
Right. No, it's an awesome. So What are so do you offer like year round just normal stuff too, like not even meat prep
Yeah, I
as well?
do. I have three different programs, and people pick a variety, like the programs are structures, and people pick bits what they need. That's what I found. So there is the therapy side. So that's like an hour once a week or once every 2 weeks to talk about any issues. You've got your anxiety, depression. I'd say the biggest issue I've came across, probably body dysmorphia and food issues. There's some really big issues that nobody, that the underlying you can see, but it's not until you dig a little bit deeper that you realize they're there. I do a check-in like you would with your coach. So you send a message, you tell me how your weeks went, what's went good, what hasn't, anything that's important. Then we talk back a little bit on Instagram and I tell you what to do next week. And we go back and forth with that. Or there's the competition plans, and people sometimes stick to one, or they can be picking what they need throughout the year. So I might have people who are on the year-long one where they're checking in as if I was the coach, just for their mental health. But then when competition season comes up, we go on to that. And then if they need an extra bit of help for the next 2 weeks, like say there was a relationship problem, there was a grief in the family, we have an hour session for that for maybe 2 weeks, then go back onto the coaching side. It's just what people need. And especially with the athletes who are competing at OSG, Arnold's, if you've got three big competitions throughout the year, that's more of the type of rhythm we go for.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that is super awesome about your service is the affordability. Like I know for people in the United States, like I feel like I've talked to people about your service, maybe had people have ended up coming and doing your service, but they're always shocked at the quality they get for the service that you're offering and how much they're paying. So I just cannot recommend it, you know, enough. It just reminded me, like, that is another thing. Therapy in America, I don't know about over there, super expensive.
I realized that it's so expensive.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, so like I think, you know, when people first reach out, I mean, I know it was this way with me, with you. And when I was going to reach out to you, I was nervous about that, like stigma around having a therapist, but also just the price because, and like you were great with both of them. So it's awesome. It's so cool.
It's expensive in America for therapy. Like,
It's
I heard somebody say about $200 an hour for therapy. That
yes.
is a lot of money. Like, it's not that in the UK, but that is a lot of money.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So it's awesome. And it's cool now with like the age, because we were talking about the bad things in social media, but this is also the cool things. Like you and I can meet once a week on Zoom. We can film this podcast. We can do stuff like that. So that is the cool stuff. You know,
It is.
it's just, I think for as most, it is a positive, but it's just making sure you don't let those negatives outweigh it, right?
Exactly.
So obviously everything's confidential, but with clients and just observing strongman as a whole, you had mentioned like body dysmorphia. You had mentioned some other things. What are like people that are kind of listening and curious, what are like some of the biggest issues that you see like riddling strongman?
I would definitely say self-esteem, body issues, and food issues. Because
And like when you say self-esteem, like compare, like kind of what we were talking about with like Instagram, right? Comparing themselves. And then
Yes,
same with body, like
So self-esteem, you can't have a self-esteem disorder. Self-esteem is something that like feeds into lots of things. It feeds into anxiety, depression, body dysmorphia, a lot of things. But self-esteem can be an issue for a lot of people. For example, it's not just like comparing yourself to other people. It can be thinking that you're not good enough. Imposter syndrome, thinking that you don't deserve to be at one of these strongman competitions. You don't deserve to do these things that you're doing. Self-esteem is a very big word for a lot of different things. And body dysmorphia, that does fit into there. Like strongman, strongwoman, powerlifting, anything really, just day-to-day life, but specifically strength sports. There are a lot of weight categories. And I found that weight categories can be good, but they can also be very problematic for a lot of people. So I've always said, go into whatever category your body naturally fits at, because I've seen people trying to lose, in the UK, it's 12 kilograms, so about 30 pounds to fit in a weight category, and it's not healthy. It's
Yeah.
not healthy on your body or your mind. And that creates a body dysmorphia, a lack of confidence in how you look, because you're constantly trying to fit something, tweaking your body, saying, that's not good enough, that's not good enough. And it spirals, and that's when you get your muscle dysmorphia.
Yeah, it's funny. My the guy that produces this podcast, Dante, he's not on here today, but him and I talk about all the time where people see us do water cuts and we may be a little more experienced with them, have put more time in, we understand what we're capable of, and newer people to our gym just assume that they can just water cut because they may be about the same size as me walking around, but they've never done it. So
Exactly.
it's definitely something that's just something to just put time and effort into learning,
I
you know,
agree.
too. It's yeah, it my bo I'm lucky my body doesn't sit too heavy naturally for the weight category I'm in, but I still do cut. And anytime you have a sport with weight categories like strongman and the ability to weigh in 24 hours prior, it's an inevitable thing,
Course.
right? Like, it's just the extreme side of it is scary to where people can push it.
And it can be done healthily. There's no way that it can't be done healthily. It can, really can. Just I've seen people not do it healthily, like
Yeah.
really bad.
I
And
mean, use Nick Hine, for example. When I first ever met Nick, he was pretty heavy. Like, he was competing as a heavyweight. Now he's top five in the world as a
No,
middleweight.
he
And
isn't.
he dieted down closer. Like, when I saw him for OSG a month out this year, he was dieted down and has made his water cut a lot easier. It just comes with experience, right?
Yes. And people think that there aren't as many body issues with the open categories, but they can be the same amount because
Oh, I'm sure.
say you're a, we would say bigger lad, but that won't really translate to American. But say you're in the open categories, you're stockier, you're carrying a bit more weight. There can be a stigma about that in general anyway from people in society, because in strongman, say you're in the gym, you're the biggest man there, you can pull the biggest deadlift, you're a big lad. Then when you go out into day-to-day life, you may not have that as good reception from other people as you would from people in the gym. People in the gym and people on Instagram might be like, wow, he's doing amazing in the field. But sadly, there's lots of people who are judgmental, and it doesn't always go the same way in day-to-day life.
Yeah, for sure. Even just being in a competition, like, I know I fell into where it's like I'm standing next to a guy and I'm just kind of like, wow, he's bigger than me, but he's in my class. You know what I mean? Like, it's there's so many different levels of it. Okay, so I want to rewind for a second because you said a phrase and we kind of just kind of skated over it, is imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And I think that is such a huge thing that you and I have spoke about, and I just hear it coming up in strongman. I see it more than I hear it, but basically, do you want to explain what imposter syndrome is? I mean, it's yeah, go ahead and explain it.
So, imposter syndrome is when you have done something or you're somewhere and you don't think you deserve to be there. So, for example, if you're at a competition and it's a, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, if you're at a national level competition, but you don't think you deserve to be there because you think that you haven't put enough training in, you're not good enough, your nutrition's not good enough, or that somebody deserves the position more than you because they're better. And that's imposter syndrome because it's like, I don't deserve to be there. And this happens to everybody. It doesn't have to be in strongman. It can be in anything in day-to-day life. It can be your job. It can be even in relationships that you don't deserve that. But it, when we're talking about strength sports, it is specifically that, like, I don't deserve to be there. I'm an imposter.
Yeah, I've had it. I've had it before, and I mean, I knew it was happening, but I never had a way to like kind of contextualize it or understand it until we kind of talked about it. And it's like the easiest way to put it is if you're at a comp, you deserve to be there. Like, you qualify. Like, if you talk about nationals, you qualified for nationals, you know, no matter what the federation, whatever is, OSG, you qualified, any of those things, you qualified for them. So go back to what we said at the beginning, like, put into perspective,
Exactly.
understand, you know what I mean? And I just think if you get in that that rut of imposter syndrome and like comparing yourself to everyone, saying that stuff, it's only going to negatively affect your, do you know what I mean?
Course.
So
It gets in your head.
it really does. And I think the less you worry about it and just focus on yourself, I understand it's easier said than done,
Of course.
but honestly, if I could give advice from something I've learned from you, is focusing on myself, bettering myself, doing
Exactly.
what I can do, set attainable, smart goals. It's only going to make you 100 times better.
Yeah. And it does, it makes your self-esteem better. And normally there is a reason if this is like a constant thing for you, and it's not just in sport, if it's like day to day for you, you're always having imposter syndrome or your self-esteem's low, there's normally a root cause that hasn't been addressed. And that's when you need to start to seek more help, like a therapy session, because let's unpick that issue first and then everything else will follow. It's like a ball of string. Once you get to the end and you start unpicking, the rest follows.
Yeah. I mean, I can speak for myself, but the time where I've had imposter syndrome and like felt like I didn't belong somewhere is the worst I ever performed at a competition. So it definitely can negatively affect you when you get in your head, start comparing yourself to others,
Course.
things like that. You know, one cute, the last thing I want to talk about is like the stimulation. We barely touched on it, but it's like the stimulation, how people can get overstimulated at competitions. And I've spoke with that a lot, and you've had some cues with me, like why, what are like some things that I guess people can do, and like I guess the problems you see first at a competition, and then like just like some like tips and tricks people can do to like kind of help them at a competition, because that is our ultimate goal, right? Going to a
Course.
show, doing your best, that's what we compete for. So like kind of elaborate on that.
So overstimulation itself, it's a hard thing. So it's to do with your senses. So when you're at a competition, there's a lot of noise. So that's one, your sense. And it can be a lot. It can be things from the crowds, it can be bangs, it can be kids crying, it can be anything, just overstimulation of your audio. Then, for example, physical overstimulation, bar obviously lifting massive weights, because that's not as if that's not a huge stimulation. Deadlift suits, they can be a very, very, very big, uncomfortable stimulation. Because when you're being put into one, I've had people like compare them to being put in a bin bag and sucked all of the air out with a vacuum cleaner.
That's
Like,
pretty
it's
fair.
not comfortable.
Yeah.
And then you've got the sight. You've got all of these lights, and the lights tend to be really harsh, white lights for some reason, but they always tend to be there. You've got all of the smells. Like, there's a smell, isn't there? In all
Yeah.
fairness, when there's lots of people in neoprene who are lifting 400 kilograms, there's a smell. You've got all of these things going on at once, and it's very hard to focus on what you're doing, and especially it's very hard to keep your mind and focus on what you're meant to be doing. Because imagine you're in a shop and you're warm, you've got a woolen jacket on, it's boiling, you can't find the thing you want, there's kids running around, you can smell sickly food. That's not going to be a place you want to be.
Right.
And it's the same with the competition. You can just have so much going on that you can't focus. You can't hone your mind in. You can't hone your physical. Because if you can't hone your mind in, you're not going to get the physical. So what I recommend for that is doing it systematically. So for example, if you're doing your deadlift, overload your senses bit by bit, little bit by little bit. So if you're going for your deadlift, play some music that is overstimulating, screaming, just loads of noise. If you go onto YouTube and type in like stadium noise, uncomfortable stadium noise, some horrible ones come up, and that's exactly what you need. Whatever you hate the most, whack it on. So you do your deadlift with that on, because the more you do it, the more you can just block that out, because you just become
Right.
desensitized to it. The same with feel. Like, some people make a mistake of going into the deadlift suit the first time they're ever going on it on a competition. It's not a good thing to do, because you need to know what it feels like, because otherwise it's too much.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. I had one person had their wife just scream at them, not like nastily, just like, what are you doing with the kids? No, more like just go on, go for it. And it was the loudness. It worked. It worked a treat. It's just systematically desensitizing yourself so that you can block all these external distractions out and focus on the thing you're meant to be doing. And the more you do it, the easier it does get.
I mean, I guess it based like in the simplest form that I see it is like you're used to lifting in a certain kind of controlled environment, like in the gym or your home gym or wherever it is, and then you go to a contest and it's different. So like try to prepare for that different scenario, right?
Exactly. And we can all prepare for being perfect, for having the exact amount of inch bars we've got, the exact straps, using the exact same things. But these things aren't perfect. I've
Right.
never had anybody at a competition go exactly how they planned. It never happens because there's
Right.
no something that's different. The floor's different, or the sponginess is different. There's always something. So instead of planning for exactly to the pinpoint how you think it's going to go, let's plan for the general and we go from there. Because if you're setting yourself specific, very, very, very specific goals with the equipment, with the way everything's set up, it doesn't happen like that. Life happens.
Right. Yeah, the one thing I love about like controlling myself at comps is something you taught me with after a comp, I set it after an event in the comp, I set a timer for
Yes.
5 minutes. And that's the only time I'm allowed to sit and stew and think about that previous event. Whenever my 5 minutes goes up, I'm done and I'm on to the next event. And like, cause I'm a big person, I don't know how it is for other people, but I'm a huge like steward, or and like I'll sit there and I will think about an event for days. So being able to do that and like just, hey, it's over. I could have done this better. I could have done this, could have done that. But hey, it's over. There's nothing gonna do now. And just time's up. Let's on to the next event. So,
Exactly. Because
yeah.
it's we ruminate over these things and we can't control them. And that's
Right.
the biggest thing. You can't control it. So let's do it. You can feel angry about it. You can feel annoyed about it. Because if you say you can't, you're shutting down emotions and that's not healthy. You need to be able to feel these emotions, but don't dwell on them because then that affects the next thing, which affects the next thing. Deal with it, process your emotions, leave it.
Right. Well, that's absolutely awesome stuff. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to like things you see or anything like that. I mean, that was really, really good points. I hope everyone will have your name up on the podcast, but
Brilliant.
cerebral underscore well-being. I hope everyone follows you. I think whether they use your service or not, you put out like a lot of helpful tips, do Q&As, things like that too. So I hope everyone follows you that's listening to this on Instagram, cerebral underscore well-being. If you're interested, please make sure you message Amelia. Like
Thank
she's
you.
been awesome to me. And I just hope that people are able to take from this and potentially reach out. And if anyone needs help, I'm
Amazing.
always here to reach out. Just that's the beautiful thing about strength sports is it is like a brother and sisterhood where whether you have a therapist or not, there's so many people and friends that you can reach out to.
Course.
So I hope everyone knows that I can be reached out to, but if you want professional, real help, Amelia, that's why Amelia's here and she's awesome. So yeah.
Thank you so much for having me though, Joshua, because
Yeah.
at the start, people were like, you won't get strong men to talk about their feelings. You'll never get them to talk about their mental health. You're going into this, it won't work. And I was like, it didn't stop us. I still went for it because
Yeah. Well,
fair
it's like,
enough.
well, I forgot to even plug your podcast, but it's
Yeah.
my, I love the name of it because it's very clever. And I believe you do it in seasons, right? Like this summer you did a season.
We should be starting the next season in February. We've got
Okay.
some great guests lined up. I'm really
Yeah, you
looking
did
forward.
like what, 8 or 9 episodes your first season.
I believe it.
It's called Mind Over Muscle. Yeah, mind over muscle, mental health and strongman. And it like it's awesome. It's fun to listen to. You've had some big guests on, so
I
it's
have.
cool. Just like
It's
you
been
said,
great.
breaking that stigma of big meatheads talking about their feelings, you know? So
Yeah, it's lovely. It's me and my partner. We talk about mental health and strongman because he used to compete, and we just have a nice variety of guests. We've got nutritionists. We had people from all around the world. We had some Americans. We had a man from Iceland. Got some really, really interesting perspectives, different
yeah.
people. And I love doing it.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, yeah, everyone reach out to Amelia. I can't thank you enough for coming on. It was great. So, it was, I'm just excited we finally got to do it. So, hope everyone enjoyed it. And we will see you guys all next week for episode 161.
Brilliant. Thank you for having me.